great to have you all here today. Morena to all of you. Beautiful C3 City Churches and all our awesome online congregation. It's the school holidays. Yoo-hoo! Some people are excited about that. I wanted to share with you too a word I got from the Lord when I was up at Every Woman's C3 conference, and I just feel like it's for all of C3 in the nation. I want us to pray into it in just a moment. But you know, when I got to the conference a couple of weeks back, everywhere I looked were pregnant women. It was just freaky. Like, it was too many. Well, not too many, but it was just like, what the heck? Something in the water? Do they know what's causing it? And then I just, okay. And then the next morning in the praise and worship, there was this wee girl who would hardly be 2 years old. And she came out the front like this, and she's watching her dad up on stage on keys, a bit like little Miller does with Andy at times. But she stood there for ages, and she had this little doll in like a baby sling, like a baby doll on her. And she stood still, and it was like over 10 minutes, I'm thinking, Lord, this is weird. Little kids don't stand still for that long. And then I felt like the Lord said to me, there's going to be a spiritual baby boom amongst all our C3 churches in our movement, in our nation. And the ones who are going to disciple them are going to be new, young Christians and young people. And we are not to hinder them. We are to nurture the disciples as they disciple those they lead to the Lord. We're not going to have to make them, all these new Christians, jump through too many hoops before they can disciple the next ones. And even young ones can disciple other ones. And then I come back home to Tauranga, and I'm telling someone about this word the next morning out in the atrium. And as I look up, three of our women who are pregnant, walking around just in front of me, and I felt like the Lord saying, see, you know, it's going to happen here as well, everywhere. So let's stand to our feet, and Lord, we just want to declare it. Let's lift our hands to Jesus right now. We declare and prophesy and speak life into the spiritual baby boom across C3 in our movement, across our nation, that there will be new souls born, and young ones will disciple them, and young Christians will disciple those they lead to the Lord. We believe it, we declare it, and we're praying into it, and we're excited about it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's take some notes today, shall we? We are talking about aligning our thoughts with God's. That's my title, Aligning Our Thoughts with God's. So what we've got to do is we've got to get rid of our stinking thinking and align our thoughts with God's. This is the whole renewing your mind thing, aligning our thoughts with God's. You know, we can all get a little bit stressed out at times in today's fast-paced world. And sometimes you even hear people say, I'm losing my mind because they're so stressed out. It can even feel like you lost control of your own mind sometimes. Now, here's the thing. We've got this thing called self-talk going on in our heads all the time. I'm not talking about hearing voices. I'm talking about us talking to ourselves, which is normal and healthy. It's okay. Self-talk is our internal dialogue. And do you know what? It never stops. It does not stop. So we actually talk to ourselves at the rate of 150 to 300 words a minute. Some of us who have a lot of words talk to ourselves at the rate of 400 words per minute. This is nearly 50,000 thoughts a day. This is our self-talk going the whole time. For many people, even Christians, much of our self-talk, psychologists tell us, is negative. And we don't even realize it because we're not really aware of it, but we can be constantly putting ourselves down, insulting ourselves, and limiting ourselves. And we say things to ourselves like, oh, you stupid thing, why did you do that? Oh, you dummy, you've done it again. Oh, you idiot. And we're often unaware that we're actually speaking curses over ourselves. And we are being like Satan, the accuser. We are accusing ourselves. And hey, the devil can just go on holiday. He doesn't even need to do his job because we are doing it for him. So today we're going to get rid of our stinking thinking and align our thoughts with God's. Tell the person on one side of you, I'm getting rid of my stinking thinking. Tell the person on the other side, I'm aligning my thoughts with God's. That's right. Now, what does the Bible say about this whole topic? Let's go there. First scripture. We've got about four or five scriptures today. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16b, the second half, it says, we have the mind of Christ. And in the message, it says, we have Christ's spirit. In the Living Bible, it says, we Christians do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. Now, this is great news. This is encouraging. God is saying here that we humans can possess the very mind of Jesus. The limitless knowledge and perspective of God Almighty is available to us daily if only we tap into it. But so often we don't avail ourselves of it. We sit wallowing in self-pity, captive to problems. We can't even see a way out. And we're thinking, oh, why, God? Why? Woe is me. But God is telling us, hello, wake up. You have the mind of Christ. Use it. This is not some New Age idea. This is the Bible. It says we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Having the mind of Christ means we see things from Jesus' point of view. It means thinking God's thoughts, not thinking as the world does. It's having his values and desires in our mind. In decision making, it is hugely helpful to know the mind of the Lord so he can guide us onto the right path. Things like where to live, where to move to, which career or job to take, who to marry, which business opportunities to take. We can have the mind of Christ in these. I'm so glad I can have the mind of Christ when making decisions. I'm so grateful that Jesus helps me with these major decisions because I have huge potential to stuff it up when I make decisions on my own. And I'm so glad he guided me on who to marry. Phew! And things could have been so different if I got that wrong. When I think of how easily I could have made the wrong decision, it scares me. In exams, at uni, I remember it was so helpful to have the mind of Christ. You know, Lord, is it answer A or B? You know, some people call it cheating. I just call it listening to the Holy Spirit. But it is so important that we as believers avail ourselves of the mind of Christ. What an incredible resource we have been given. So it involves surrendering our own old ways of thinking and searching out his and looking at issues from the divine viewpoint. We need to think differently to how we used to before we were saved. This is what happens. Let's go through the process. When we think differently, then we act different, and then our lives end up different. So when we think like Jesus, then we start to act like Jesus, and we end up being more like Jesus. So our thinking becomes godly, then our behavior becomes godly, then our whole lives become more godly. So what we allow to be sown into our minds is very important as those seeds grow into thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7a, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what we allow ourselves to go to think is very important. What we allow into our minds forms our thoughts, which forms our actions and behavior, which forms our lives. So it's very important because our thoughts will always influence our behaviors, and then our bodies will end up where our minds are. So what we think becomes what we believe becomes what we act out becomes our whole lives. Like Ralph Waldo Emerson, that great literary guy from last century in the USA, he said, we are what we think about all day long. So every deed ever done, both good and evil, began as a thought. Every act of kindness began first as a thought in someone's mind. Every generous donation of money to feed orphans began first as a thought. But so also, every extramarital affair began as a thought. Every murder first began as a thought. Erwin Lutzer said, every temptation comes to us via our thoughts. So what we need to do is think of the outcome we want in our lives and then work backwards. If we want to live a life that's pleasing to God, then we need to act in a way that's pleasing to God. But in order to do that, we need to think in a way that is pleasing to God. The way we do this is to align our thoughts with God's And the Bible calls it renewing our minds, which brings us to our second scripture, Romans 12, verse 2a. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here we go. Do not conform to the world. We've got to be non-conformists. I am a non-conformist. Say it with me. I am a non-conformist. Tell the person beside you, I am a non-conformist. That's right. It says in the New Living, in a bit of a different way, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So what happens when we meet the Lord is we get saved, we repent and we turn away from our sins. We get baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then the next major step in our discipleship is to renew our minds, to align our thoughts with God's. So this is really important that we do that. If we don't renew our minds, we'll never be able to progress and mature in our Christian walk. And we're still thinking just like the world. We've just got a little bit of icing on the top of our cake, bit of Jesus on the top, but really inside, we haven't changed. We must align our thoughts with God. We must renew our minds. And that comes in a process. If we don't renew our minds, we'll never be able to progress and mature in our Christian walk. We'll always keep struggling with the basic things, never getting past go spiritually. The world wants to influence and control our minds, but God wants to change and transform our minds. Now, the Greek word, it's hard to say, and transform, it means metamorphosuthai. It's something like that. This is where we get the word, English word, metamorphosis, from. It's a change from within, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's amazing. It's total change. This is why now you've given your heart to Jesus, you are a different person to who you used to be, because you've been saved by Jesus and your thoughts are being aligned to his. Your mind is being renewed. The center of your being is different. The driving power of your life is different. Your mind is different because the mind of Christ is now in you. So the process of renewing our minds works like this. Every day you're sitting there reading your Bible, or maybe you're listening to it, you're hearing it on your phone, and then the Holy Spirit quickens something. He makes it alive. He reveals God's truth to us. And his truth changes our mind and reprograms our brain and rewires our thinking. And so God does this and he delivers us from our old limiting, fearful ways of thinking. Now, there is a battle on in our minds. J. Oswald Sanders says, the mind of man is the battleground on which every moral and spiritual battle is fought. So Satan is trying to limit us through our old mindsets, and he operates in fear and doubt and unbelief. But the Holy Spirit operates through the Word and helps us think as Jesus thinks. So when our mind is renewed, it's the acting, ruling part of us, our whole person, our whole being is renewed. And the result is, the end of this verse, Romans 12:2, then we will know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So then we actually know, and we're guided by the Lord. We know what God specifically requires of us. And so many Christians struggle with this. So many people have huge trouble trying to discern the will of God for their lives, and they're on every altar call trying to hear which way to go. God, please show me what to do. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll marry anyone. Except for that guy. Oh, God! It's so vital that we feed our minds on the Word of God so he can renew our minds and reprogram our thinking and align our thoughts with his. Because the Word of God is so powerful. It brought all of creation into being. God spoke words and stuff happened. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the universe into being with his word. He didn't use hammer and nails. He spoke words. His words still have creative power today. They create things in our minds. They create a stronghold of truth. And when we read God's word out, when we listen to it, and when we speak it into our minds, it changes us. I remember years ago, I've shared this story before a few years ago, we were in a dire financial situation. And it looked like we were going to go bankrupt. And the worst thing was, this was for the second time. You know, it's bad enough to nearly go bankrupt once, but when you're coming around that mountain again, you're like, how do I get here again? And we had, you know, well-dressed men coming to the door, handing me papers. I'm thinking, this is not good. This feels bad. And what is going on here? And then, you know, you can get it. You can get an email and it can just drop your faith right down in your boots and you're feeling like you're just one inch off the ground spiritually. But I knew I had to change the way I was looking at this. I had to get God's heart and mind on this situation or I felt like it was going to drown us. So I go to the Word, prompted by the Holy Spirit, write out, I think I typed them out, about 20, 25 scriptures on God's provision. Amazing scriptures. You know, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Always remember it is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. All of these scriptures. And I wrote them out, typed them up and printed them out. So every time I got a bad report, I would go to my scriptures and I would read them out. In fact, I was doing it every day. And sometimes I was doing it twice a day. And I would go from feeling like one inch off the ground spiritually, sometimes even crying, feeling like, there's no way out of this. And I would read them out loud. And then I would hear them. So the Word of God would go in my eyes, then out my mouth, then back in my ears. So all my senses were being assaulted by the Word. And I would go within about 5 minutes of starting to read these verses to the end, from being like one inch off the ground to like flying around the room. Because he would change my thinking. He changed my thinking on it. The Word changed how I felt, how I thought, how I saw it, and then it actually changed our whole circumstances. And we didn't go bankrupt, and God miraculously gave us the house we're renting, and, you know, he's incredible. So whatever it is you are facing today, there are words in the Word about it, about health circumstances, about fearful circumstances, about finance, about anything. And you can find those scriptures in the Word. If you're struggling, ask your Connect Group leader to help you. And write them out and speak them and prophesy them over your situation. You will see change. It'll start in here and then it'll start happening around about you. Here's our next scripture. This one shows how Jesus spoke words of life and ignored words of death. Mark 5 verse 35b and 36. And I love how it says it in the Revised Standard Version. There came from the ruler's house, this is Jairus, about his daughter who had died, some who said, "Hey, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler, "Do not fear, only believe." Jesus, ignoring what they said, he ignored the words of death and he started speaking life. The Living Bible says, but Jesus ignored their comments. The Good News says, Jesus paid no attention to what they said. Talk to the hand. I am not listening to your words of death. When people try and do this, they speak death over us. We've got to ignore it. They were trying to speak death over that girl. Jesus ignored it. He didn't listen to it. He paid no heed to it. He spoke words of life and brought life, her back to life. How often do we hear words of death spoken over us, spoken over our circumstance? If you get a bad report from the medical professionals, or you get that letter or that email from the bank, or someone will say to you, "Hey, that business you're doing, it's going to bomb. It'll never work in this climate." Or your spouse says, "This marriage is never going to get better." Or your parents say, "Man, you'll never get a job." When others speak death over you, your situation, your dream, your marriage, your business, your family, be like Jesus and don't listen to it. Ignore it. Pay no attention to it. Do not heed it. Do not fear, only believe. That's what Jesus said. Hold on to what God has said. Speak the word of God into your situation. We've got to replace all this negative, cynical, defeatist thoughts that try and get in our brains or stay in our brains. We've got to change them with the creative power of the Word of God that renews us. We've got to align our thoughts with His. The Word of God displaces old thoughts which were defeating us and then our lives are changed forever because He makes all things new. So we can think our way to failure and unhappiness or we can think our way to success and happiness. So you can have failure and unhappiness or success and happiness. It comes down to here and seeing things through God's eyes. Because remember, on our worst day, we're still going to heaven. If we think in negative terms, we will get negative results. If we think in positive terms, we will think in positive results. And nothing is more positive and powerful than the Word of God, the Bible. We've got to fill our minds with it daily. We've got to read it every day. Or if you struggle with reading, listen to it every day on your phone. And listen to, in your car, listen to the Word being preached, podcasts, worship that has songs from the Word. Much of the worship music we listen to is from Scripture. Well, I don't have time to read the Bible. Do you have time to have a shower? You could get up earlier. You could use all the time you use for social media. Turn that off and turn on the Word instead. You could turn off Facebook and get your face in His book. Don't allow your mind to be wrongly influenced. We each have to take responsibility to guard our own minds, to get rid of our stinking thinking and align our thoughts with God's. It is my responsibility to guard my mind. Only I can do it. I can't delegate that to Alan or to our lovely PA, Eureka. I have to do it myself. John Stott, that great theologian, he said, self-control is primarily mind control. Self-control is primarily mind control. It is vital that we have a mind like a steel trap. Remember those terrible old possum traps? I think they're illegal now. Those ones that would go like that. And if you got your leg in them, you'd need some kind of surgery. We've got to have a mind like that, that snaps shut and does not allow evil, negative, worldly thinking into it. But that devours the Word and then snaps it shut and keeps the Word in there every day. We need to be diligent about what we allow into our minds because it will influence us. TV, Netflix series, movies. Now, not all of these are bad. I'm into The Chosen. Who's loving The Chosen? I've caught up. I'm waiting for the next one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, see someone who put their hand up right then later on. Social media, music, books, negative people. All of this is influencing our minds and our thoughts. We need to ask ourselves, what is the fruit of this friendship? Or this Netflix series, or watching this movie, or reading this book, or this Facebook or Instagram chat. What is the fruit of it in my life? Is it good or bad? Is it positive or negative? Is it light or darkness? And then we may need to do some pruning in that area. And this is between you and the Lord. You know when the Holy Spirit's like, turn that off. What are you watching that for? We've got to listen to that. You know, one way the enemy seeks to have influence over our minds and our behavior and our lives is by dulling our senses through the use of too much alcohol or even drugs and porn. And you might think, well, this is church, Eleanor. Why are you talking about that? Well, it would be great if I didn't have to. But in New Zealand, I know, because I've been living here for 52 and a bit years, we have a binge drinking problem. And drugs and porn are on the rise. I want to camp on this for a moment. In the book of Proverbs, God has a lot to say about the excesses of alcohol and how it affects our minds and then our behavior and then our lives. And this is true too for drugs also and for porn, which is more powerful even than cocaine, more addictive than cocaine. It's like a drug. So as Christians, the Lord tells us not to be conformed to this world. Remember, we're nonconformists. We have to live different. We can't allow the enemy to influence our minds and dull our senses. And many Christians, young and old, fall prey to these old temptations. Things like too much alcohol, drugs, porn, even social media and getting addicted to that gossip. So too much booze, for example, lowers our inhibitions and we make wrong judgments. Well, let's ask ourselves a question. Do I really need my inhibitions lowered? If you're of sanguine disposition, you don't have any inhibitions anyway. People think you're drunk already. It's just your loud laugh. I do think some inhibitions are a good thing, and they're put there by God to protect us. You know, many young people, Alan and I led the youth for over 10 years, and we saw a lot of this, but many young people make mistakes of a sexual nature because they're under the influence of too much alcohol or drugs. And then we can have consequences that are lifelong, like a pregnancy or incurable STIs, etc. Many people in our nation are killed and maimed and injured every year because other people have allowed their minds to become so blurred by booze or drugs they can't drive in a straight line anymore. You got to wonder what the point is of losing all your inhibitions and then vomiting and then not remembering where you were or who you were with or what you did and having a terrible headache the next day. It's not glamorous. I know, because that was me. I was, before I got saved as a teenager, a heavy drinker. I would drink every day. I would get as drunk as I could at least twice a week in the weekend. But then I got saved. And then I read in this Bible that drunkenness was a sin because God wants us to be self-controlled. So I resolved to give it up. It took a little while. It was a battle. Now, by the way, can I just say, it's not a sin to drink. Jesus and the disciples drank wine, and we can too. And I knew that. So thus began my feeble, vain attempt to try and drink and not get drunk. And I found that I just couldn't do it. I kept crossing the line. I've only had one, two, three. I can still drive. It's all good. I can still stand on one foot and say the alphabet. Anyway, I couldn't do it. And it kept tripping me up. And alcohol was my drug of choice, but it was a snare to me. And it was damaging my witness as a Christian. I was trying to walk this fine line along the cliff edge, but I just kept falling off. So I made a decision to give it up forever. And I haven't had a drink since November 1988. By the grace of God, praise God. If you're having a battle in any of these areas, or maybe some other areas I haven't mentioned, you may want to make life a whole lot easier for yourself. And give it up altogether. Give up the drugs or the booze or the porn or the social media or whatever it is that's causing you to stumble. This will cut out the whole cycle of sin, then guilt, then beg for forgiveness on the altar call again, then sin, then feeling guilty again, then begging for forgiveness. I mean, it goes on and on and on. If the band could come, please. If you're stuck in the guilt cycle, you can get out of it once and for all. You can give this whole drugs, booze, porn, whatever it is causing you to stumble thing away. Give it up for God. I don't know why I'm laboring this. I feel like this is the Holy Spirit's on this morning. Someone needs to hear this. If it's controlling you, it's hurting you anyway. What? Give up drinking, Eleanor? That's a bit excessive, isn't it? Well, if it's causing you to sin, you need to deal with it quickly and thoroughly. Matthew 5, last scripture. Verse 29, Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is much better for you to lose a part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. And then he goes on and says about your hand and your foot. Now, Jesus is not telling us to go and become an amputee. What he is telling us is to get serious with sin and not tolerate it in our lives. We have to be careful what we allow in our eye gate and things into our minds. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We've got to be careful. When we allow these things to dull our senses, like alcohol, drugs, porn, all these things to wrongly influence our minds, maybe it's that negative friend who keeps in your ear, we're also allowing it to dictate our behavior and eventually our lives. We need to be so careful what we allow into our minds. We've got to realize that our thoughts influence our decisions and actions, and our decisions and actions may influence others who look up to us, our kids, the young ones, the youth, new Christians. We never want our freedom to cause someone else to stumble. You know, at the start of this year, 6 months ago, I threw out a challenge and we gave out little Bible bookmarks for us to read through the Bible in a year. 3 chapters a day, or easier option, read through the New Testament in a year, 1 chapter a day. I don't know how you're going with that. I just want to throw out the challenge again since we're halfway through the year. Some people are doing midwinter Christmas. I'm doing midwinter Bible challenge. We've got to get our minds renewed. We've got to get our thoughts aligned with God. This happens by pumping gospel to our brains. By getting the word into us every day. There's a battle on for our minds. We've got to renew our mind daily with God's words so our thoughts will be godly. Then our actions will be godly and it will cause our lives to be godly. And our lives do not get godly by us just trying harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder not to sin. We need the word of God. God brings change in our lives by changing our thinking via his word. Father, I thank you. You're speaking to us today. Lord, we pray that we would be obedient. Lord, that we would get rid of our stinking thinking. We would align our thoughts with yours by putting your word into our minds every day. If you know God's been speaking to you this morning and you want to say, yes, Lord, I'm obeying you. You want to take a step of faith. Why don't you start that step of faith by coming out the front and saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to bring some change here. Lord, I'm going to be in your word every day. Or for some people, it may be laying down an area that you've been battling with and the Lord wants to cut it off. But it's up to you to do it. And you're going to put it at the foot of the cross this morning on the altar. Remember, you can always sign up for a freedom prayer too. They're so powerful and life-changing because you get to hear from God in such an incredible way. And you can do that via the information desk or via the website. I've had three. I have one every year, whether I need it or not, and I always end up needing it. It's so powerful. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, I pray that we would be a people who would align our thoughts with yours. We throw out stinking thinking. We cut off things that would dull our senses. Lord, we choose to be men and women of God, thinking the thoughts of Jesus, then deciding and acting and behaving like Jesus, and then ending up more like Jesus. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I want to give the opportunity while we worship God for you to take a step of obedience to the Lord if he's speaking to you about these areas. You know, getting into that word every day, renewing your mind. Come on out here. I would love to stand with you and pray with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You are doing a new thing and it is a new day and we don't have time to be held up by wrong thinking anymore. These are days in which you're calling us to go from walking, breaking into a run. Lord, you're picking up the pace. It's the last days. And we would be an army who follows you in step, who are ready to go when you say go. In Jesus' name, we don't want to be entangled by things of the past, by worldly thinking, by old habits. We cut them off in Jesus' name. We leave those things behind. Lord, give us grace every day to be in your word and have our minds renewed, our thoughts aligned with yours. We throw off the stinking thinking in Jesus' name.